verse 8 that we've read says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Often when we hear this text, we think that the gift that is given to us is grace. And it is. Grace is a gift from God. But the Word of God also teaches us that everything related to our salvation is a gift from God. No man is able to point to himself and say, "I have willed myself into believing." No woman is able to look at her life and say, "I have figured this out to the point where I have mustered the faith to believe." The Apostle Paul teaches us here and elsewhere that we are to boast in God. We are to boast in Him alone, because all that we have received as beneficiaries of the grace of God is not because of us. It is a gift. Grace is a gift, but notice Paul also reminds us that faith itself is a gift. I want you to think about that. Think about times where maybe you're flipping through TV channels and you hear the TV preacher calling on those that are watching to get enough faith to do this, or to come up with enough faith to do that. Friends, our faith is a gift. It's not a work. Paul says that, doesn't he? It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I think that in itself is very encouraging to us, because we know that as we live our lives in this world, in this fallen world, that we come into contact with things that cause us to stumble and cause us to struggle. Or we have friends that are believers, but it seems as though they just are not able to go this far in their doctrine, or to get this aspect of their life together, or to walk in faithfulness in this way. And for me, that's an encouragement, because faith is a gift. This is not something where me as your pastor or the elders in this room, we are not saying, "You are not yet good enough. Get the faith to be good enough." We're saying, if you're going to boast, boast in what the Lord has given you. Boast in the faith that has been given as a gift. Even if that faith is small, even if that faith is weak, even if that faith includes struggles. See, the Word teaches us that salvation is a gift, and that we're unable to boast, and no man or woman can point to him or herself and say that they have willed themselves into the kingdom. And this is what the canons stress next, as we talk about this connection between the corruption of man in his or her heart and conversion that is given by God. We've spent 9 weeks on this connection, the connection between corruption of the heart and conversion of the heart. 9 weeks, showing ever so slowly that our hearts by nature are corrupt. And that in order for those corrupt hearts to be found in union with Jesus Christ, which is absolutely essential for our salvation. Those hearts need to be changed. They need to be replaced. The stony heart must go. And in all of this talk over the last 8 weeks, we have said that the conversion of the heart comes from the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who does this work. But what we do not want you to do is to fall into the error that says in your mind that someone's heart has been converted by the Spirit and yet they still do not believe. Because a heart that has been converted by the Spirit will reach out by faith. You say, well, what if they're converted, but they don't have enough faith? What did Paul say? It's a gift. Faith is a gift. If we look at Article 13, we see this truth that's expressed not only in Ephesians, but in Romans 9:16, where it says it's not of him that runs or not him that wills, but God who shows mercy. Some of you are probably good runners, better runners than I am or ever will be. And that's fine. But some of you may not be as willful as I am. So there's those that runneth, those that willeth. And neither of these are able to come up with enough faith, the great runner and the stubborn willer. We cannot come up with enough faith. It's God who shows mercy. As we reflect on this fact that is found throughout the Scriptures, we have to confess that we don't know why God gives faith. And that's hard for us. We're Western Christians. Everything must be included in a systematic theology somewhere. Why does God give faith? I don't know. Article 13 says the manner of this operation cannot be fully comprehended by believers in this life, notwithstanding which they rest satisfied with knowing and experiencing that by this grace of God, they are enabled to believe with their heart and love their Savior. Why did God choose to give you faith? Why was that gift given to you? I don't know. And we need to be okay with that. We need to be okay with the fact that we don't know. But we know that it is enough faith where we are able to believe with our hearts. We are able to love the Lord Jesus, to love our Savior. Just bask in that for a moment. Bask in that fact that if you today here are in Christ, you have been given sufficient faith to be saved, to walk by faith, to grow in your love and in your commitment to Jesus Christ. We are to rest satisfied knowing that the conversion of sinners to Christ is alone by the grace of God, and there is nothing within us that would make us to be eligible for that reward. And Paul elsewhere compels us to think in this way when he talks about the potter and the clay. And we've used this imagery even in this series. The clay does not have the right to say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Why have you made me thus? Why does the clay not have the right to ask? It's because faith is a gift. We haven't come up with enough faith where we are able to approach God and say, here's what you require. And sometimes this is the error in evangelicalism. Evangelicalism will look to Roman Catholicism and they'll say, you are constantly making your people come up with prayers and confessions and diverse washings and repentances, and you're making your people do all of these works to approach God. And the same error in modern evangelicalism is the idea of getting enough faith together that you can approach God. We approach God by faith because that gift has been given to us. Not because we are able to replace our medieval theology that says do, 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 do with our modern theology that says believe, 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 believe. We need to have a theology that says trust and rest, knowing that it is Christ who gives these precious gifts to His people. It is something that God grants. And because He grants this, we are able to respond to that new heart. We are able to live out that converted life that says, I will believe the gospel. I will grab on because God Himself has given me the faith to believe. Listen to the next article, Article 14. Faith is therefore to be considered as the gift of God, not on account of its being offered by God to man to be accepted or rejected at His pleasure, but because it is in reality conferred, breathed, and infused into Him, or because God bestows the power or ability to believe and then expects that a man should exercise his own free will, consent to the terms of salvation, and believe in Christ, but because He who works in man both to will and to do, and indeed all things in all, produces both the will to believe and the act of believing also. What we have here are two arguments against the idea that man is able to produce faith within himself. The first argument is, it begins with, faith is therefore to be considered the gift of God, not on account of it being offered to God to be accepted or rejected. So faith is not just offered to man, like, here is a gift. If you call today, within the next 24 hours, we will double the offer and give you this gift to go along with your order. That's not faith. That is not how faith comes as a gift. It's not God saying, act now so that you may have this. It is not a gift to be accepted or rejected at His pleasure. See, this gift is of great price. This is not something where someone could offer it to you and say, you know, that's not really my style. I don't want it. This is something where when God offers this gift to us, He compels us with the right heart to receive it. The words used here is, in reality, conferred, breathed, and infused into Him. Now, when we talk about faith being offered and man being able to choose or to accept it or reject it, I don't want you to confuse that with the gospel. Don't confuse faith with the gospel. The gospel goes out to all who would hear. And the offer of the gospel goes freely and sincerely to everyone who would hear. That if you believe these words, that Christ Jesus has died for sinners, you are able to say, Christ died for me. That gospel message that says that Jesus Christ died for sinners, that is a message that goes to everyone who hears. There will be some that believe. There will be some that don't believe. There will be some that reject. There will be some that are indifferent. That is not faith. Faith is given to those who would believe, and it's only given to those who would believe. I think sometimes our brethren in more hyper-Calvinistic circles conflate faith with the gospel. The idea that faith is conferred and granted and infused into the elect only. And they'll say, that's the gospel. Friends, it's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners, and you are called to believe. It's a different question as to whether God has given you faith. It's a different category. Faith is not that free gift that God holds out to those who would take it. And that might sound wrong, but it's not. God does not offer faith. He offers promises in the gospel. And faith is the gift given to those who would believe. Faith is granted so that we would believe. One pastor says, when God deals with His people, He gives them the ability to believe. He creates in them a new principle whereby they are enabled to do which they can never do apart from the grace of God. Why are you able to reach out by faith and to believe the gospel? Because He's given you faith. Now, does that mean that the gospel should only go to those who will believe? No. The gospel goes to everyone who is able to hear. And then there's this language of conferred, breathed, and infused. This says that faith is granted to the elect, and faith is breathed into us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit giving that life that we would believe. This is not merely the Holy Spirit regenerating and then leaving us to determine whether or not we would be saved, but giving us a new heart and then breathing that breath of life into us the way that He breathed life into our father Adam. And then there's that language that faith is infused. Now the word infused sets off theological red flags in Reformed circles, because there's a Roman Catholic teaching that righteousness is infused into sinners, that God by His Spirit makes a sinner righteous. And we say, that's not what God does. God declares a sinner righteous. And those are very different. But this word infused here is not a negative, or not to be received as a negative in this sense. In this sense, it's saying that faith itself is put within us so that we are able to respond. We are able to respond to the gospel. This is not infused righteousness. It's infused faith. The canons go on to warn us about another error here in this same article, and it's one that the Arminians or the Remonstrants were speaking against. It says, or even because God bestows the power or ability to believe and then expects that man should be the exercise of his own free will, consent to the terms of salvation and believe in Christ. You see, God does not just expect us to exercise free will. God does not just expect us to consent to salvation, but He works within us. as the apostle says, to will and to do. He is the one that produces this faith as a gift and this saving ability for us to believe. God supplies us with all things that we need for our salvation. And I think that is a wonderful thing because it reminds us that if God is going to convert our hearts and God is going to give us the faith to believe the gospel, it is who that is going to finish the work? God. He will see that salvation completed. So what is saving faith? If this is something that God gives to us, that we would be able to believe. Our larger catechism asks this question, and we'll close on this answer. This is question 72 in the larger catechism. What is justifying faith? Justifying faith is a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and Word of God, whereby he, being convinced of sin and misery and of the disability in himself and all other creatures to recover him out of his lost condition, not only assents to the truth of the promise of the gospel, but receives and rests upon Christ and his righteousness therein held forth for pardon of sin, and for the accepting and accounting of his person righteous in the sight of God. So again, we see that same language. What is justifying faith? It is a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. See, this isn't a Reformed tradition and a Presbyterian tradition with two different understandings of salvation. This is the same understanding that justifying faith is a gift given to sinners by the Spirit of God, and that gift convinces us of our sin and our misery. It uses God's Word to say, I cannot live up to this. I am unable to live up to this standard that God gives. I am unable to be recovered. And then you assent to the truth and the promise of the gospel. I look at the Scriptures. I see that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. I see He died a perfect death on a cross. Do I believe that? Absolutely, I believe that. I assent to that truth. But I also rest on Christ. And I also rest on His righteousness for pardon of sin. And I accept this and I make account of this, that He is righteous and will make me righteous, declare me righteous in the sight of God. Friends, as we talk about the doctrines of grace, and as we talk about what it means to teach salvation according to the Scriptures, don't fall into the mindset that says grace is a gift, and then call on your friends and your loved ones to just muster enough faith to believe. Faith is a gift as well. But don't also fall into the trap of thinking that the way in which you show your friends and loved ones the way to God is pointing them to faith. Faith does not save. Christ saves. We point them to Christ, not only to assent, but to rest and believe. Faith is a gift. It's part of this great teaching of salvation that we find within God's Word. Amen.